You're listening to Evolution Revolution with DJ Damaru, broadcasted live from Kootenay Lake on AnonRadio.net, which is hosted on SDF.org.
Hello. All right, Loose Wires. This was my new jingle, if it's what we call a jingle, the introduction of a show. I'm trying to bring more professionalism to my radio podcast, however you want to call it. And yeah, nice new jingle. And then my cable was loose. Yeah. Now a lead in. Yes, that's maybe the more technical term that Publius is telling me about. A lead in. Let's call it a lead in. I prepared that over the weekend, and I know, that's the thing. The loose cable kind of killed it all. That was a weird thing. It's definitely a weird connection. Not sure when this happened, but gonna tape it or do something about it. Yeah. So much to talk about today and so little time, but let's start in music with I went down a little memory lane in my music today. We'll see how that fits all together, but I started DJing for party long time ago, no, like maybe 20 years ago, and I was DJing in parties where there was a lot of DJs, and like home parties, and all the DJs were too tired or too stoned to DJ, and then I jumped on the tables, but I didn't DJ my own music for the longest time. And it's only when I started playing music in a yoga school, because we had some event to dance to, and I started to mix my own music, and not my own music but my own purchased downloaded music. And so that was a long time ago, and the idea was to have something that is yoga appropriate and still very danceable. So anyway, I went back into looking in some of these track, and it was pretty good to rehear that. So contrary to most of the time where I bring a lot of newer music that I just purchased or that just came out, this is fairly old stuff. I'm not too sure. I don't know much about the time of publication of this. This is Kaya Project with Harem Bizarre. Thank you. You're listening to DJ Damaru with Evolution Revolution. This was Kaya Project with the song Harem Bazaar. I went back into my library of music of a song from the past. I used to, my main practice ground, let's say, for DJing for on mix way back on a small PC. That was my introduction to my own setup of DJing with a very small mixer there. And I was in a yoga school, so I had to keep things politically correct to a certain extent in the music. So yeah, this is some of the music. Other things might be a little less politically correct. And talking about politically correct, this is what I wanted to talk today about. Spirituality or meditation and yoga and politics, and it's an interesting thing to think about what type of political inclination somebody who are people that are practicing different spiritual practices, what you know, who should they vote for, right? And is yoga and meditation against politics and against this movement of whatever we're seeing in the world today, as politicians are more controlled by corporation. From my perspective, there's less freedom for politician to decide whatever they want to decide. And so what's the spectrum? Like, where do you place yourself? I was in a meditation group with Eric Barre, who's a meditation teacher from France. He studied with the same teacher as my original yoga teacher, John Ruvinsky. And therefore, they're fairly, well, connected as far as lineage would go. But their teacher never really wanted any sort of a lineage type of system. Their teacher is called Jean Klein. And there's always a tension in my own practice where I see there needs to be change in our culture. We are over exploiting nature. We're destroying the environment, which affects our own well-being. Everybody is overworked and depressed and burnt out. Mental illnesses is not going away. On the contrary, we see more and more mental illnesses, whether it's self-created or a result of our culture. And there's a part of me who wants to radically change this world. And there's a part of me who's been sitting down and thinking about it and realizing that if you get sucked into this divine comedy, then you're just part of this whole machine. You're just becoming part of justifying the political choice and things like that. So it's always been for me, while exploring my own personal liberation, there's always been a disconnect between, do you meditate all day long or you become an activist? And there's always this question of like, well, I see all the bad and the good and that happens with our world leaders. And should my energy be more wisely spent in hacktivism, and other activity than simply looking into human evolution, meditation, and reflection, and all the practices that might, open up a path for myself for liberation, but for other people as well. So what is the political position that I ended up for myself and that I ended up using in order to kind of focus mostly on human evolution? So as I said, by not participating in the shit show that is political madness that's happening, someone would free a lot of their daily tension. I hear a lot of people talking about politics with a lot of passion, and in the last few years, it's become very colorful, very strongly opposite. There's this division of people, and you hear it again and again. People would say, you know, you used to go to the polls and you used to vote, and then whoever would win, everybody would party together after that. But we've stepped into this radicalized political, if you vote red or blue, then you're the enemy of the other side. So there's definitely a division that has been happening within, you know, the working class. And anything that divides a culture, that divides people, when you look at liberation and evolution and kind of removing all the stuff that's in the mind that's not needed for evolution. Well, anytime you see this polarization, you can see that this is actually not useful for evolution. Now, I'm not saying that politics is not useful. It's what we've decided to work better as a community. But the strong belief that the other side of this political spectrum is the enemy really negate a lot of the personal work that you might be doing. All right, let's go to music with Ganga Giri and Curried Ripples. Thank you. Even with a small little mantra at the end there. So that was Gangagiri, Courage Ripple. A fun fact about Gangagiri, if you are wanting to take on learning didgeridoo, he is training people online. During COVID, I went around and I was like, well, perfect time to learn things online. And that's when I actually took Shakuhachi lesson, and I was wondering too about learning. I can play the didgeridoo. I've played it for many years. I'm not an excellent didgeridoo player by any means. I was able to do the circular breathing for a little while, but anyway, I was wanting to perfect the art of didgeridoo. My didgeridoo right now is not very great. It's a bamboo didgeridoo, which is not great. But anyway, I was searching online to know who's teaching, and Gangagiri came up, and I was like, oh, this is cool. It was a little expensive, but I didn't go for it anyway. I'm not too much into didgeridoo anymore. Anyway, you're listening to DJ Damaru, not DJ Didgeridoo, with Evolution Revolution. And just going back in time, listening to some of this old music for me anyway that I used to play in yoga school. That's how I really started DJing. And today it's a little unfocused where it's all going. I was looking into liberation and the process of the how are you in a society when you're working on liberation, on a political level, on a social level, and with the election that just happened, and just a lot of questions about the position in the world. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I'm not too sure which one to take. What I find interesting is when you're looking into liberation, liberation being, sounds like a big word, but I just, in a sense, simply letting go of things that might not have an importance in your own happiness and your own evolution. And so when people are thinking of liberation, it might come to mind to be a monk with a robe that give up their social life to become meditating every day for the rest of their life. But liberation happens on very small scales as well. Every day we decide, like, you know, what we do, where we go. And interestingly enough, all the thoughts that you have, it's a form of liberation. And deciding on, do you want to think about this or you don't want to think about this, it's also another process. And what I find interesting is that it could really very closely look like avoidance of this world. And I talked about that not too long ago, this kind of delusional thinking or escapism. And all of that comes back to a role that we play in our culture and in our society. And it becomes, it can really easily be laughable when you look into the process of liberation and that you start letting go of all these social construct that we've decided to put in place. And somebody in their own evolution process starting to let go of having opinions about politics, about how the world goes, about how people should behave and should not behave. And I guess that's why a lot of stories of Buddhist practitioner or tantric practitioner end up going up in the mountain and hiding in the mountain, as there's doesn't seem to me much material for evolution in the culture that we live in the sense that a lot of it is, you know, having an opinion about something that we don't really understand, like politics or international conflict. And at the end of the day, none of that really help in our process, apart from being detached from it. So it's a weird position to be in, I find. And it definitely could feel like escapism. But at one point, what I realize is also taking care of oneself is the most important part of our, in my life anyway, to see what is affecting me negatively and what is affecting me positively. And anytime there is, you know, something coming up to a decision about this or that, the question is always like, well, what will, you know, liberate me more? And yeah, life can become boring a little bit with that. I remember reading a book about this, there was this saying that whenever there's a choice of a path, it's always important to choose the most difficult path. And the most difficult path at first might be to release and let go of different things that you have, that you've owned for a long time, or ideology that you've sustained for a long time. But at one point, that also become the easiest way out, to let go of all the stuff that we've decided as a culture that are important. And sometime the most difficult path would be to take these on, take on our social culture that we've created and be fully part of that. All right, let's change style a little bit into some minimal tech house. Still the old stuff. I've had a couple years of minimal tech house. It was not super well received in the community here. I really enjoy minimal tech house for some of the kick and the ambient bass, the bass sound that we have in there. But on a dance floor, I don't know if it's if you need more drug-induced crowd to enjoy the minimal tech house. But anyway, this is Adan Lucky Luke and Hodgins with the album called Sick Trip.
ecstasy.
All right. Yeah, I still enjoy minimal tech house so much. Been thinking to do a good party mix some days and have a good party with deep bass and kicks. You're listening to DJ Dumbaro with Evolution Revolution, and today I'm not sure what I'm talking about, really. Just this place in the culture of being on the spiritual path and the role that you end up in our culture or in the world. I was reading this book. I think I really enjoyed it. The Music Lesson from Victor L. Wooten. And he's a super good bassist. And he wrote that book. I don't know if... Yeah, I'm not too sure about the book itself. If it's a tale, he seems to be telling it as if it's really happened to him, but it's fairly kind of magical. It's kind of a spiritual journey, and the teacher, anyway, Wooten's teacher, he seems a little outside the reality. Anyway, very fun book that mixes spiritual search for growth through music. Okay, that's the subtitle. My violin teacher was saying, like, oh, you should read that. And it's very good for everyone in the sense that it has very interesting musical foundation, but it's also very spiritual at the same time. Anyway, my point was, within that book, the teacher is friend with somebody else in town. And that somebody else is a homeless person. And the homeless person says something along the line of, you know, when you're homeless, it's fairly interesting how the government, you know, leave you alone. And that homeless person end up being a very good musician, but also a healer, and kind of realizing that this idea of homelessness and being completely outside reality, the reality of a culture, like not partaking in making money and having a home and paying taxes and doing all that stuff, that there would be people who decide to be outside of that, you know, that model, and becoming some sort of, you know, spiritual hermits within the culture by being homeless. And it kind of reminded me as well of the Eckhart Tolle story, and the person who wrote The Power of Now also going through a phase of homelessness as he got enlightened, or some sort of enlightenment or awakening or liberation, and became very dysfunctional to a certain point, and socially dysfunctional, and then not being able to, you know, care for oneself. So that's it's a weird concept of thinking of liberation and thinking about the culture of today, and seeing all these things that gets in our life that fills our mind with stuff that might not be useful for evolution. To the point, sometimes I'm wondering, you know, is it by design? Is it like the culture we live in is by design trying to make sure that we don't evolve as a human being? Because it's very opposite. Like if you start worrying about politics, and if you eat bad food that is advertised everywhere, like, you know, and then if you have a goal of, you know, just monetary goal of making a lot of money, working all the time so that you can accumulate as much stuff as possible, keeping on changing your devices, keeping on changing your relationship, keeping on changing everything, and never having the time to think for 1 minute about your own evolution. And in the meantime, becoming, you know, sick physically and mentally, and having all these challenges while, you know, holding a very strong political stance, like all of that, from my own experience, is just pulling us away from the real goal of, you know, human evolution, happiness, liberation, and all of these that, you know, would make us happy. And one by one, each time I'm like, oh, okay, yet another social construct that we created that goes against, you know, who we are. For example, you know, people are not dreaming anymore. You know, people are not able to visualize things in their mind anymore. People are not able to hear their own thoughts. There's more and more people that are diagnosed with they cannot hear their thoughts. And that's really concerning when using your thoughts should kind of be foundational of being human, when you can reflect and can think things through. But there's less and less people. It's not, you know, a pandemic of people not being able to visualize or to hear their thoughts, but it's something that has been found more and more with people. And when I see people listening to podcasts all day long through their whole day and just not having to think for themselves anymore. I'm like, oh, that there might be something there. There might be something when you keep on consuming medias and always seeing things outside of yourself, looking at the television, you know, movies and all that. The imagination and the power of thinking and self-reflection become dull. And how many generations will it take before that's not a skill that we have anymore, of thinking, imagining, you know, concentrating on things and dreaming and using our dreams as a portal to discover who we are for liberation. So from that stance, of course, as somebody explore their own reality, explore their meditation self, explore whatever spiritual journey they are on, it comes head to head with the culture that we live in. And I was reading an article, a very interesting article about all these little things that people do to change the world. And it was very, very sweet. One of them was not to forget that, you know, when we talk about culture, we are the culture and we are part of that. And we have to keep on influencing that culture. And yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. All right, let's listen to some. This is, I don't have the name there. It's an album about ayahuasca and I can't remember the artist's name now. Anishinaabe is the song, and their band escaped my mind, but a little psytrance with mix shaman Ikaros.
Thank you.
That was Bod Gaia with their album Ayahuasca. It's an interesting album, Bod Gaia. I don't know why they got very inspired by ayahuasca. Maybe they went down and they drank the juice and they then now made an album. And they released a new album not too long ago, and yeah, it was nothing like their first Psytrance album, Bod Gaia. That was a good one. Lots of shamanic Icaros mixed within all of that, which made these songs ashram or yoga appropriate when I started DJing. You're listening to DJ Damaru Evolution Revolution, and I'm kind of creating this discussion around the position and the place of a spiritual practitioner, yogi, a meditator in today's culture. And it's a strange place, and I don't want to freak out anyone about what is to meditate and have a spiritual practice, but it comes to a cost of course of how you relate in the world. And when you go to your first few retreat and start realizing who you are, what you want to be, when you come back in the world, it's definitely a bit of a cold plunge back into reality. I've lived in a yoga ashram for the first time was for a year, and you know, whatever happened during that year had a massive transformation happen to me during that time. So when I went back to my day-to-day life back in Montreal, I was a little, you know, out of tune with all that. In any case, this is open-ended conversation about the role, the place, and how to be in your own liberation, and what to expect, and how to look into all the things that happen in your life, and how things that at first seems to be what makes you happy will change, and what seems to not make you happy might become the thing that you're looking for. In any case, I was mostly trying my new lead-in intro music this week, and tomorrow we'll be meditating 1500 UTC and on radio. Thanks again for listening, and let's put some more ayahuasca-inspired music on my way out. Thanks again, and we'll see you tomorrow.